Darren Hunt, welcome.
Hi, Julia.
So your newest medium is film, and you've just finished a clever 45-minute dramatic short, Paper Angel. One-sentence scenario, or I think you call them in the business, logline, Darren?
Mm-hmm.
Go.
Yeah, it's really a film about a used car salesman who's down on his luck. He takes a chance on basically giving a gift anonymously, and that leads to him coming into contact with Devante, and from there, the events just sort of unfold.
So this screenplay, which does actually have a setting of Christmas time, was stowed away for a decade before it just had to be made. How did it finally get your attention from its place in the desk drawer, and why now?
Yeah, I mean, it did. It came to me, the basic storyline and idea came to me in a flash in probably about 2006. And it was always sort of in my mind set a few weeks before Christmas, essentially. And yeah, it sat there for a long time. I finally decided to get it in script form about maybe 5 or 6 years ago. It went through multiple drafts and feedback from several friends before it was really, I think, ready to go by about 2018. So around summer of 2018, really honestly, probably around this time 3 years ago, is when I got enough feedback from people that the script was ready. Now, obviously, they didn't necessarily recommend that I try to film it, but because that's just such an endeavor. But they definitely felt like the essential story was there.
And you yourself had to know or feel or somehow just need to continue with it in your heart. Would you say you knew it was there as well?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. After I'd probably put it through 5 or 6 different drafts, I felt like the essential story was finally there. And it wasn't necessarily my intention to direct it per se, but I knew that I wanted to try to get it made.
Good for you. And okay, this is also a totally homegrown work of art, from actors to settings, even your music, the performers and the composers. So that plot is rather classic, but how does Fort Wayne factor into the flavor and flair and maybe even the soul of this work that you put out?
Yeah, it factors in completely. I knew when I wrote the story that I had Fort Wayne in mind the entire time. It never even occurred to me to go anywhere else. I've been in this town for 31 years now, driven around it from north to south, east to west. And there were just settings and scenes and places that resonated with me that I felt like fit the tone of the film entirely. Staying away from downtown to some extent, there aren't really any classic landmarks in the film or anything like that. Somebody did mention, in fact, that if you saw this film, you wouldn't necessarily know what city it's in. And I kind of did that on purpose. So I tried to kind of go off the beaten path in some ways. I mean, you will see some, you know, hints of Fort Wayne for sure in the film. So yeah, absolutely. The city was always the setting in my mind. There was never any need to go anywhere else. I felt like it was all here.
It certainly fits. And
exactly.
Good for you
the
for
tone,
staying
the
there.
Feel, I think fit.
Now, was it difficult to find just the right and tight little acting team, which in fact does make this film very special?
You know, it really wasn't even that hard. Initially, people had said for the role of Devante, who is, you know, 10 or 11 in the film, that I would never be able to find that kid here in town. But through a stroke of luck, a friend recommended that I get a hold of Emily Arata Grillo at Weiser Park Theater, and I contacted her, and she read the script and said, I've got the kid.
That's fantastic.
And she was right. So I had the lead kid within a matter of a few weeks. Bob Allersmeyer came on shortly after the main, playing Chris Bell in the film. And so all of a sudden I had my two primary actors. And then from there, just word of mouth and getting in contact with people who knew of other actors who had done work locally and around the area. And then I also filled quite a few roles with just friends.
What a great story, and it certainly fits so well to the whole vibe of the film. Now, regarding the plot and the premise, it's an intriguing morality tale, made even more so by the holiday time frame. That might be a natural hook, but it's hard to do something really fresh and clever with all of that, which you did manage to do, so what's your secret?
I think I just got lucky in a way. The central image that plays on the theme of the film, the meaning of the film, and I don't want to give away too much here, is really simple. And so I think in a lot of ways I got lucky. I didn't want to try too hard to drive some like really obvious message home, but I think it's in there. I think the images and the performances themselves and certainly some of the scenes themselves bring it home for sure. But I didn't try to consciously rely on a bunch of cliches to sort of get that meaning and message across. At least I hope I didn't.
In fact, it's quite devoid of any of that. Was that a conscious effort?
Yeah, it was conscious. When I first had the script finished, I thought, man, I could take this in a complete Hallmark movie direction if I really wanted to. Pull on all the heartstrings, play up on a bunch of sentiment and emotion, but I did not want to do that because that's just not me. So I consciously wanted to stay away from that and hope that I did.
Good call and perfect tone.
Yeah,
was
tone
achieved.
Was huge for sure. Yeah. Didn't want to try too hard.
Okay, then let's factor in the music between Michael Patterson performing his own originals and Lee Miles adding his distinctive pieces. The music really enhances the whole act of storytelling as well as advances the plot. Now, how much of that was intentional? As you sound like you've been on a lucky roll with all of this, how much was just your amazing good fortune here?
That was good fortune as well. I mean, with Michael, I contacted him around the fall of last year and just said, hey, I've got a lot of the chunks of this thing done and edited, and I could at least start sending you scenes. I've known him for a while, and I knew he was a multi-instrumentalist. He sent me works that he already had completed that just happened to fit. And then he also composed original pieces for the actual film itself. And it was incredible. And then with Lee Miles, what was really cool is I began listening to one of his albums from 10 years ago called The Leaving. So I contacted Lee and said, hey, man, like some of these songs are just incredibly perfect for what I'm seeing and hearing for the tone of the film. And his response was, you can use any song off anything I've ever written if you want. So I was floored and humbled because they just really add a ton.
Good for you
just
both.
Just incredibly lucky.
For and sure. Of course, good for the film.
Yeah.
Now, this film is also one of the many victims of COVID interruption, as there were so many creative endeavors falling that way, Darren. How was your process affected?
When COVID hit in March of 2020 real strongly, basically we're done with about 80% of it. So it was a snag, but because we had so much done, we knew that, well, it's March anyway, the winter landscape is starting to fade, let's just take a break, we'll reconvene in the fall of 2020, see where we're at, and pick up from there, and that's exactly what we did. We shot a lot still starting in the fall, winter of 2020, all the way into 2021. We honestly didn't even wrap it completely until about May of this year. So it was a 2-year process off and on.
You made it work and it did take some longer. Anything good come out of that delay?
Oh yeah, absolutely. It gave me time to reimagine a few scenes that we needed to reshoot anyway. And then it gave me time to really think about those scenes that hadn't been shot. We reshot several key scenes because of that delay, without a doubt. So yeah, planning gave me time for planning.
A very
for sure.
odd luxury
absolutely.
Because of COVID.
Yeah, I mean, many people would say like a 45-minute, it's actually a 53-minute film in its total by the end of the credits. A lot of people would say like, man, 2 years, that's insane. Normally you shoot a film like that in 5 weekends. And they're right. That is ideally what you'd like to do, but that's just not how it happened.
However it had to happen, it did.
Whatever it took.
Yeah, and good for everyone involved.
Mm-hmm.
And with your multitasking in multimedia, to say the least, which you are also very skilled in, you are a musician, you're an author, you have a good sensibility about what you want to see and put forth and display. Did you feel that working to your advantage?
Yeah, I mean, in some ways, but nothing can prepare you for directing a first film. There's nothing like it. Yeah, I've written poetry, children's stories, music, but nothing has ever tested me like this. It's the multifaceted aspect of it, settings, working with actors, getting the soundtrack together, collaborating as much as you possibly can with all those different avenues. There's nothing that can prepare you for it. So yeah, it was a massive learning experience for sure. Just an openness to creativity in general and rolling with the changes that can come along aesthetically in something like a film. It's just so multifaceted. So just being flexible alone, I think, is huge.
Well, now that it's out, what kind of early reception and feedback is Paper Angel getting?
Really good reviews, good feedback, especially by way of like, man, this is your first time, like you pulled off a lot. So that's been a hugely encouraging thing for me. Really good feedback by way of the performances, the music, the pacing, the rhythm of it. Yeah, some really positive feedback.
And now that you're ready to be having a showing right here in the town it was born, mm-hmm. does that make you extra nervous to have it in your own town, or do you think that's an advantage?
Yeah, I mean, I'm nervous. Anytime you put something out like this, you are going to put yourself out there in a vulnerable way. And certainly there's a sense of like, you know, oh, you know, you're directing a film, huh? You know, and you've never done it. Let's see what you can do. And that's fair. And like I've told people that are close friends privately, give me your honest feedback. So I hope the public audience itself will feel comfortable with giving me feedback as well. You know, friends that I don't know real well, I've told everybody, send me your private reactions, you know, email me, text me, send me an IM. I don't care. There's nothing worse than just having someone say like, oh yeah, good job, man. Although that's great too. And I expect that from people that I don't know, obviously, just the usual like, oh, good job. Loved it. You know, whatever, you know, or a great film. But I hope that people that I know and people that I only know barely, even tangentially, will take the time to give me that actual critical response, because it's important, I think, to learn. If you don't do something like this with the goal of learning something, there's really no point in doing it.
And you might not ever have a second film.
Yeah. Somebody asked me the other day, are you going to do this again? And I said, well, absolutely. I want to try to do another one, because I feel like your first film is really a warm-up to your actual first film.
Well, then, as a matter of fact, now that this film is in the can and on that festival circuit, accepted at several places, mm-hmm. what's on your own drawing board?
Brainstorming ideas for the next script right now as we speak. And I want to do it again here in town.
You think it's going to take you 10 years?
No, it can't. There's no way. I don't have that much time. I won't have enough energy at that point. But yeah, I'm working on ideas right now and thinking very locally again.
Good.
Local storyline, local settings again. Fort Wayne, I think, has even more to offer when it comes to films. You know, we've had obviously many films shot here. In the Company of Men, Neil LaBute's film is probably the biggest standout films that I can think of that really use the setting. There's more that can be done here.
It's good to hear you say that. Yeah. And
there's more stories to be
right.
told here.
Indeed.
From people who live here, from the lives that are lived here. And I am very much focused on telling another very much Fort Wayne story, if possible.
We look forward to that. And we will be watching. Last question then, mm-hmm. Darren. From your heart, which is where this film was born, no doubt about that, what do you hope your audiences take away with them in theirs when they leave that theater and stays with them forever?
Yeah, I mean, I hope in some ways they connect with one of the characters or more, and some theme or meaning from the film that is sincere and real comes out, and that they feel that. Or connecting with, you know, what I think are maybe several layers of meaning that can come through. You know, I don't want to feed that ahead and say, here's what you should get out of it. So I hope whatever meaning they get out of it and whatever they connect to with it, I just hope it's sincere, that some sincerity comes through.
Darren Hunt is a multimedia Fort Wayne creative, recently writer, producer, and director of the film Paper Angel. Darren, what a story you've shared. Many thanks. Best of luck.
Thanks so much, Julia.